This is the Sue Free Show, the pursuit of passion, purpose, and connection. Now, here's Sue Freeze.
Thank you so much for joining the Sue Freeze Show, and I'm just really happy to be with you today. I really am. And you know, I'm not wearing glasses. And the reason I'm not wearing glasses is because I went and had cataract surgery done on my eyes, and I have one eye that's far, and then I have one eye that's good for close-up reading. And ever since the surgery, I have not worn glasses. I went water skiing this last weekend, and I had to wear these funky little glasses because I didn't want the spray to get into my eyeballs. I'm protecting my eyes with everything I have because, you know, the first day when I woke up and I picked up my phone, and then I'm scrambling looking for my glasses, and I couldn't find my glasses, but I looked at my phone and realized I don't need my glasses because, voila, oh my gosh, I can see without them. So Dr. Helm near Magic Mountain is the doctor, and I went and saw him yesterday because we did a checkup, and I just told him that I talked about him and that I'm so thankful about my sight. You know, we just take things for granted until we don't have them, don't we? And to have my eyesight back and to not have to wear glasses is a really wonderful thing. So today's message, I'm reading again, and I'm really loving this book, An Enemy Called Average by John Mason. John Mason is helping me write my next book. He's written, I don't even know what the number is up to as far as how many books he's written, but they're not real big books, which makes it easier for me because I love to read, but I'm not into the real thick novels and everything because I want things that are going to help me be better as a person, better as a Christian, better as mostly a Christian, but mom, grandma, just to learn how to be better at what I'm doing. And scriptures are so helpful. But what I've realized is that when I'm interviewing, the interview is only as good as the questions I ask because I don't want yes and no answers. I want someone to get into what they're made of. You know, what are they about? What's important to them? And for us individually and in relationships, I think the questions we ask can be very deep. I have a friend of mine saying, gosh, you're such a deep thinker. You know, you always come up with these deep questions. And, you know, sometimes it's just good to talk about the weather. And I'm going, okay, but we can see the weather. We don't have to talk about it. It's right in front of us, right? I want to talk about something a little deeper than that. So when we're thinking about growing by our questions as well as by our answers, when someone asks me a question where I really have to just think and I find my eyes kind of go up, they kind of go up because I'm thinking, and for some reason I feel like my brain works better when my eyes go up. And when I do that, I'm just thinking, okay, wow, that's a really good question. So here's a couple questions for you. I've got 13 on this one page, and I want to share them with you. And I think what I'll do is I'll print them out, and I'm going to stick them on my website. I think that would be a good idea for this show, because if you want to look up these questions later, because maybe they'll be helpful for you or your relationship or even maybe a family member, it would be good to have these questions. So here we go. Let's see what you think. Here's number one. What one decision would I make, meaning you make, if I knew or you knew it would not fail? What's one decision you would make? It could be I'd quit my job and I'd go do this, or maybe I don't know. You come up with. But what one decision, if you knew it wouldn't fail, that you would be successful in that decision, what would that be? That's number one. And that could start the dreaming process for you. Sometimes our dreams, they've been there since we were young. I know mine have. You know, when I look at the moon, I'll tell you a little story, and you can think I'm crazy, and I really don't care. I'm not average, and I don't want to be, and I'm not normal because I don't even know what normal is. But I will tell you that when I look at the moon, which right now it's been a full moon, and it's been an amazing moon, but when I look at that moon, I see a woman, and I see a woman with a microphone. And for the longest time, I thought that woman with a microphone was singing. But now what I see, and it's not me, but I see a woman, she has a microphone, and it's for speaking on stage. It's not radio, it's not microphone on the radio, it's microphone on stage. And I believe that's a vision that the Lord gave me on the moon, because it's a big, big dream to be speaking on stage to a multitude of people, and it's not the speaking that's the big deal. It's the message that's a big deal. It's the significant impact that that message could bring to those that I'm speaking to, because it's the Lord in me that's speaking. Because let me just tell you that no matter where you are in your life, no matter who you are, what you've done, that you were created for a purpose, and God loves you, and He wants you to fulfill that purpose in your life. And a large part of that has to do with our own thinking. We could have stinking thinking, or we can have beautiful thinking. We can have future thinking. We can have dream thinking, to where we're believing and we have a vision of something way out there. And it might be seem so far from our reach, so far from our touch. But can I just tell you that nothing's too big for God? Nothing is too big for God. And He wants to take credit. He wants to have the credit. So if it was something that seemed like you could make it happen, then it wouldn't be God. And you couldn't just say it was God. There's so many things in my life that I have to just say, that's way bigger than me, way bigger than me. I could give you one. I have a home. And I've always had this thought of having a domestic violence, a house for mothers with children that are in domestic violence or bad situations, and they need to get out. They need to have a safe place to raise their kids, but they don't have a way to do it because they have no way to afford paying financially to provide for these children. And there might be fear of danger if they cause anger to arise. There's just all of these different things that could be holding a mommy back from moving into a safe place. And she might be fearful of losing her children, and those children is what she's for. It's her whole life. And she wants to be with her kids, and she feels it's a safer place with her than with maybe someone else. But she has no way to get out of this situation. So God placed it on my heart to look for a home, and then he provided this home. I paid for it. I'm still paying for it. But God provides for that too. And this home is a place for moms to get back on their feet. Now, I did that, and I was doing it for I don't know how many years. And then what happened was COVID happened, and all of a sudden things got really difficult for me. And I thought, I got to do something here. So when the last mom ended up leaving, and that was just a total faux pas, that whole situation. The mom was lying to me about what was happening, and really she was the one that was the not good person, and I didn't realize that. But anyway, moving forward, she finally left. It was in December, and she left, and I had to come up with another plan so that I could get whole again financially with that house. And so I ended up now, I've got it as an Airbnb for now. And then I had an abortion a long time ago, and I was healed from it, but it took years and years and years for me to let my secret out. And now I let my secret out because I feel like if there's one mom out there that has that secret and they're keeping it inside, it's keeping you in bondage. It's holding you back from what God wants from you. And when I realized and I got the safe place to where I could release that secret and get healed from the pain that I didn't even know I was suffering from, that lack of worthiness, that feeling of just really failing, when I could let that go and receive God's love and the purity could wash over me and that forgiveness that only He can give, when I received that, it was when I could blossom. I could become a butterfly. I could metamorphose from that caterpillar into the cocoon, and then all of a sudden I'm freed and I can be the butterfly that God has created me to be. Butterflies are so beautiful, but they're so delicate, aren't they? If you touch their wing, it can make it to where they can't fly, but then they can fly for miles and miles and miles. It's an amazing story. That's a miracle story, just learning about the butterflies. With all that being said, All I'm saying is that there's many stories, there's many things that we go through, and the Lord brings us through. And sometimes along the way, there's healing that needs to happen in order for us to be released so we can find out what's next. And each and every one of you has a story. And God loves to make a message out of our messes. I've had plenty of messes in my life. I've had so many messes. But here I am. I feel like the Lord has healed me, and He's forgiven me, and He's giving me that love, that value, and worthiness. And my words are of encouragement and inspiration, because if this could happen to me, if the Lord could love me enough to leave everyone and save only me, to die for me, then He's willing and able and desiring to do the same for you. And that, if we left right now and we called it good, I would say, man, a really good message. And hopefully you heard it. Some of you are hurting. You've been hurting. You ignore it. You think that it's okay, and you just keep on putting on that face. I did that too. It's showtime, folks, and you put on that smile when down deep you're hurting so desperately. You want to be heard. You want to be seen. You want to be felt. And God sees you. He hears you, and He feels you like nobody on this earth could. So there's no time better than right now to receive what He has for you. And all you have to do is look up, arms up, and just say, Lord God, I'm yours. And I want you to take over my life and heal me from whatever is ailing me. And He'll give you direction. He will. You just have to be listening. It's a quiet time, very quiet time. And sometimes in my past, I had a hard time with quiet time. But quiet time is a really healthy time. You're listening to the Sue Free Show. Sue Free is spelled like fries, one word, .com. I would love for you to go there and check out the website. There's so many different buttons on there to push. And at the very top, it has the IMs. The IMs are three pages of printout that's free. You just push the button to print, and it'll print. And you can have those, and you should read them every morning, every night. I will tell you that your life, your brain, your belief system can change just by understanding who you are in Christ. We can listen to a lot of people and a lot of different noises in our heads, but the only one that really matters is the one that God says you are, because He's the truth today, yesterday, and tomorrow, and it's forever. So I hope you do that, that you print those pages. Here's the second question. What one thing should I eliminate from my life because it holds me back from reaching my full potential? Now, that one thing could be one of the things, or something like one of those things that I just got through kind of discussing with you as far as in my life. One thing I should eliminate. What would be that one thing that you should eliminate? And here's the next one. Am I on the path of something absolutely marvelous or something absolutely mediocre? What do you want to focus on? I don't want to be mediocre. I don't want to do mediocre. I don't. I'm far from it. Okay? I want to do something absolutely marvelous for others. I want to have a significant impact on other people. 4, if everyone in the United States of America were on my level of spirituality, would there be a revival in the land? Well, that's kind of giving you a temperature or a barometer on where you are spiritually. Are you spiritually engaging? Are you spiritually letting your light shine? Or are you snuffed? Are you snuffed and under a rock? Where are you? I can tell you where God wants you to be. 5, if I'm ungrateful for what I have, how can I be happier with more? Oh my gosh, that is so good. I think 2 weeks ago I did one on gratefulness, being thankful in all things, because God says that. He tells us, doesn't matter circumstances, it matters good, bad, indifferent. But He is saying to be thankful in all things, because in the circumstances, in those times when we're just going through troubled times, I don't know about you, but I can remember back those times, and those were the times that I learned the most about who I was and who He is. And I wouldn't give those times up, even in crisis, even with the emotional roller coaster. I wouldn't give those up for anything, because I wouldn't be the Sue Freeze that I am. And I'm thankful he's not done with me yet, because I have not arrived. I'm not going to pretend that I'm something I'm not. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I'm still having to say I'm sorry. You know, all those things. I mess up. I mess up. And so do you. It's just a fact of life. 6. Does the devil know who I am? This is an interesting one, because I say where much is given, much is expected or required. And it's true. And I know that when I'm feeling a lot of opposition, that there's something good I'm doing. There's something that the devil doesn't want me to continue. He's trying to take me out. He's trying to take me down. And I think that's same in any aspect of life, is that when we're going through times where we feel like we don't understand this attack, it could very well be that we're on the right track. I'm a poet and didn't know it. That's so funny. I'm going to have to remember that line, because it's a good one. Does he know who you are? That's really interesting. 7, has failure gone to my head? I will say for me, you think about you, has failure gone to your head? Because if you stay there, if you stay down, you know, you have to get back up again, right? And if the failure is keeping you down because you're just focused on the failure, I focus on the lesson I've learned, but not the failure itself. Because we all fall short of the glory of God, and we are going to fall. I was thrown off of a horse, but guess what? Shattered my leg, and guess what? I have another horse, not the same horse. That would be not very smart. But I have another horse, and I'm back up. I'm riding. I'm learning groundwork. I'm learning saddle work. I'm learning English, Western. I'm just learning a lot. And the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. And isn't that the true in so many things in life, is that the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. So failure doesn't go to my head, other than the intelligence or the wisdom of learning from it to where you can be better the next time you try. You know, if we just fail and then get back up and just get on without assessing the situation. I know how to ride a unicycle. People are just blown away that I know how to ride a unicycle. But I know how to ride a unicycle. But I have to tell you, that was a lot of time vested and a lot of falling off, falling forward, like on my hands, my face, on the sidewalk, falling backwards, falling off sideways, getting the pedal in my leg and hitting my shins so many times. This was a long time ago, years and years and years ago, but I can still ride because somebody just asked me to ride just the other day, and I got on the unicycle. We pumped it up with the tire with air because it had no air in it. And so I got on it, and I actually could still ride. Was I as good as I was when I was practicing all the time? Of course not. I was very rusty, but I could still get on it and I could still ride. And the point is that I fell off a lot. And if I would have given up and I wouldn't have tried that next time and that next time and that next time, I couldn't be able to say right now that that I can ride a unicycle. Now, I can't juggle. My son is an excellent juggler. He can juggle, but he can't ride the unicycle. I can ride the unicycle, but cannot juggle. So I could learn how to juggle. And I'm sure it wouldn't hurt as much as learning how to ride a unicycle. What can I do to make use of my time? What can I do to make better use of my time? Okay, this is something I ask myself probably every hour on the hour. I'm a maximizer. It's a gift and not a gift. But I try to make the most of every single minute. So when somebody tells me something 3 and 4 times, I don't know, I get annoyed, and that's not good. I need to have patience with people, and sometimes they just have to repeat themselves. I don't understand it, but that's them, and this is me. So it is a lesson for me to have patience and to just let them repeat themselves. And so I'm working on that. But I need to use the best use of time, because we only have so many minutes in a day, right? And I want to make sure that every minute counts. And so the question to you is, what can you do to make better use of your time? So you could look at what you do in a day. You could even write it down as an assessment, just like you do with your food. if you want to, is that you write down, you know, how many minutes you spent doing whatever. I mean, went to the bathroom, you got coffee, you watched 30 minutes, you listened to, you know, you looked at YouTube, you watched the political race or whatever, and you scrolled. You get to work and you spend 5 minutes on email or 15 minutes on email. You can actually, you know, put time things on there to take up your day. And then you could look at that and go, okay, that was a really good use of time. That, you know what, maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe that's not the best use of time. And then you could ask yourself all the things that you could have got done. If you took this 15 minutes out, you could have put that in, and that would have been a better use of time. Two nights ago, I'm just getting ready for bed. And next to my bed, I have a notepad and a pen. Why? Because sometimes my brain is just going and going and going, and it just doesn't stop. And so I wake up, turn on the light, and I start writing everything that's in my head because I got to get it out of there and I don't want to forget it. So I get up and I write it down so that I can let my brain calm down. And in doing that, the other night, I did that, and the Lord just said, write a book on a children's book. And so I did. Took 30 minutes and I wrote a children's book. Is it completely ready for press? Absolutely not, but the idea is there. I wrote out the story. It talks about obedience, it talks about honesty, and it talks about being considerate of other people. And all three of those in a child's story. I have three grandkids and I'm reading books to them and looking at what's out there to buy them books because they love to have a book. Their parents read them a story before they go to bed every night, and I think it's a wonderful thing. They're so smart and they're so well-mannered and they're just great kids. And I would say that even if they weren't mine, but I'm very proud of Mark and Tiana for the way they're raising their children. But when I'm looking at the stories and things, I'm thinking, I think I could do a better job, and I think they should be better and more God-centered. And so I'm focused on that. And I wrote this book, and I'm like, okay, because Scott, he said, so you need to be writing children's books. And I never thought about writing children's books, but here I am, and I'm writing them, and it's kind of an exciting new tool for me. And it's not something I thought about, but now I've got to find time for that, right? So there's got to be something I get rid of so that I have time to write this book. And that's what I'm doing. So we're getting to the close of the first half of this radio show. And so I hope that by asking the right question and answering the questions, you can have a better understanding of what you're thinking, what you're about, and what you could do to improve upon what you're doing in your life. So 30 seconds and counting. Do this. If you don't know the Lord, ask Him in your heart. Ask Him to forgive you, and He will. Be a blessing to someone each and every day, because as you do that and you bring light into the world, people are going to want to be around you, and you're going to want to be around them. So, do yourself a favor, please share this, and talk about it, and get the help you need if you need help, and connect with me by going to SueFries, spelled like fries, oneword.com.
Have you noticed more insects or rodents in your yard, or maybe in your home?
Warmer weather means it's mating season.
What's your sign?
Hi, this is Sue Fries of Ecola Termite Pest Control, but you can call me the Termite Lady.
And I'm Tyson Fries, manager at Ecola. When pests start mating, they start looking for food supplies, your pantry, your garage, and a quick infestation can cost hundreds in tainted food.
You don't want pests in your house. We know how to find and eliminate them before they can settle in.
Call us for our free pestimate at 877-332-BUGS. New customers get $50 off any initial treatment. Pests hate that we make our service so affordable.
Don't let insects and rodents move in. Call Ecola now, 877-332-BUGS. That's 877-332-BUGS. Or online at termitelady.com.
Ecola, powerful termite and pest control.
As gentle as a butterfly.
Ecola, 877-332-BUGS. termitelady.com.
What would you do if your two-year-old child simply stopped breathing?
The day businesswoman and author Sue Fries discovered her son had developed life-threatening asthma, her life changed forever, sending her on a path of learning, discovery, and environmental activism. Sue's book, Learning to Breathe, chronicles her amazing life and death battle for her son Tyson's life, a how-to manual for parents of children with asthma, revealing the secret causes, surprising cures, and the untold truth about harmful indoor allergens. Written with the passion of a loving mother, wisdom of a successful businesswoman, and deep spiritual devotion, Learning to Breathe is a hero's journey for the parent in all of us. If your child suffers from asthma, this must-read book could save your child's life. Learning to Breathe by author Sue Fries, available on Amazon, or log on to SueFries.com. That's Sue, FRIES.com. SueFries.com. You're listening to The Sue Fries Show, the pursuit of passion, purpose, and connection. And here again is Sue Fries.
Thank you, Ecola, Termite and Pest Control, for sponsoring this show. I'm so thankful for Ecola. Ecola is hiring. We would love to hear from you if you are interested in a career, not a job, if you have a clean driving record, if you're kind of athletic, because you have to be. It's a physical job. So we have offices San Diego, Moreno Valley, Menifee, Orange County in Anaheim, Oxnard, Mission Hills in San Fernando Valley, and Santa Maria. I hope I didn't miss anything. I don't think so. We're looking for licensed people for pest control, branch 2, licensed people for termite, and applicators that are universal that can do anything and everything. We're looking for you, and if you don't have experience but you think this might be something you'd like to do, call us at 877-332-BUGS-2847, and we'll be happy to talk to you. And you could go to our website, termitelady.com, go there, and you can download a one-page application. It's just a quick application to give us information, send it back to us, and then we call you. And if we don't call you, you can call us. And I think you'll get a call, though. And we'll talk to you about, you know, the jobs, you know, the what the responsibilities are, and then we'll set up an appointment to talk to you. So thank you again, Ecola Termite and Pest Control. This company's been around since 1983. We're alternative treatment along with traditional methods. So if you're, you know, sensitive to chemicals, we can still take care of you. We have a lot of choices in our toolbox, and we'd love to have the opportunity to take care of you. All right. So on part one, this is part two of a two-part message. I'm talking about we can grow by our questions as well as by our answers. And I asked, I think I got to nine. I got to nine, so I'm going to go to 10. And the question here is because I feel that when we ask the right questions, it gives people a chance to think. And when they think, it helps them answer. And when they answer, hearing our answers can help us really tune in and tone into what we should be doing. Okay, what would be the next steps? I don't know about you, but this just came to me, and thank you, Holy Spirit, for this, because I try to be, I am. People say the one thing about me is that I'm real, and I'm the same, and I think I am. You know, everybody has bad days and good days, but I think I'm pretty even keel. Would I recognize Jesus if I met him on the street? Would I recognize Jesus if I met him on the street? Okay. I think I would. I think I would feel him more than recognize him with my eyes. I think it would be a spiritual, emotional attachment. I would feel the presence of him near me. I can do that in the spirit, and I think I would do that if he was in just in front of me. How about you, though? What's your relationship like with Christ? What's it like? How do I need to forgive, or who do I need to forgive? This is probably one of the biggest and the most freeing of any question, because he says at the level you forgive, you too shall be forgiven. We can hold on to things that people have done, unjust things, and things that really we didn't deserve. You know, there's things that have happened and we don't understand them. And this happened to me with my stepfather, my second stepfather, who was more of a dad to me than my real dad. And all of a sudden, he just shut me out and shut me off because my mom died, and he got reacquainted with a high school, I think, sweetheart. And the high school sweetheart had a lesbian daughter, a daughter that came out and said she's a lesbian. And I was talking to him about the Bible, and I was telling him that he was mentioning third gender, and I don't want to get political, I don't want to get into this big debate, but he was talking about third gender, and I said, there really isn't a third gender. There's male and there's female. And, you know, I have a dog that has puppies, and I can tell if they're male or female just by certain things, without getting into any more detail. And he says, you're so stuck in your ways. And, you know, I said, but this is what it talks about in the Bible. And he goes, well, I don't want to know about your Bible if you're going to be this way. And it was very painful for me. And he just ignored me and shut me out, not only me, but my two kids that were his grandkids, and they loved their grandpa so much. And he just shut us all out. Well, that was very hurtful to me, and I had a choice. I had a choice that I could just say, oh, no way, I'm never going to talk to him again. Uh-uh, he doesn't deserve me, which he didn't. He didn't deserve to have a relationship with me if he can shut me out like that, right? I mean, that's really, I mean, I hadn't done anything terribly wrong. I just had a conversation with him. And, you know, we have a right to our own belief systems. I mean, we do. And we all have feelings. We all bleed the same. And God loves the person. He just hates the sin. Okay. So when someone's sinning, it doesn't mean he doesn't love the person. He just hates the sin. And he tells us the same thing. Love the person, help the person, but hate the sin. So later on, years and years later, I don't even know how many years, probably 15 years later, probably 10, let's say 10. He was dying. And I found out he was dying by my sister. And he's in his bed, and he wanted to talk to me. He wanted to see me. So I had a decision to make on whether I was going to go or not. Now, I had every right to say, screw it, I'm not going. But I felt that doing the godly thing and what God wanted me to do was to go and talk to him. So I got enough. I mean, it took every ounce of strength and calm to walk into the room where he was laying in his bed on care, nurse care. He wasn't awake, and I didn't know that, and I didn't know if he was going to wake up. So I sat beside him on the bed, not on the bed, but next to his bed, and just watched him breathe with his eyes closed. And during that time, I just started praying, Lord, give me the strength to sit here. Lord, give me the strength to know what to say if I have an opportunity to say anything. Lord, just tell me, give me the words. And Lord, help me in this time because my heart hurts. And help me just get through this. And I'm getting teary-eyed just reliving the moment. And then I felt the Lord just say, whew, grab his hand and just tell him how much I love him. And so I did that. I grabbed his hand and I just told him how much God loved him. I don't know if he heard me or not. I believe he did hear me. He never did open his eyes. His finger moved a little bit. I just don't know, but I think he heard me. And I wanted to walk him through the prayer, and I didn't know if it was right to do that when I didn't know if he could hear me or not, but I just told him that God loved him and that God wanted him to be with him, but it's a decision he needs to make. Because God gives us freedom of choice. And we can choose to not or choose to believe. And that's your choice too. So after, I don't know how long, maybe an hour of sitting there and watching him breathe, I felt released. I felt released to be able to leave that room. I don't believe he ever did wake up after that. And I don't know if he was capable of, in his mind, opening his mind and his heart to receive the Lord. I don't know. But I know that I did what I needed to do to not regret something that I might not have the chance to have. I had the chance to have that moment with him. And I don't regret that. But I have to tell you, it took everything I had to put myself in that position, not knowing what I was getting into. But I was trusting my Heavenly Father that he had me and that he wanted me to do that. And so I did. And I'm thankful. Thankful that I did that. And maybe someday in heaven, I'll see him and I'll know. And maybe when I get to the golden gate and the Lord says, well done, good and faithful servant, which is what I want to hear him say to me, that it won't matter. It won't even matter. And I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that. But God does. And I'm just going to leave it there and have faith in that. So, who do I need to forgive? Who do you need to forgive? Because in the level you forgive, you too shall be forgiven. And I don't know about you, but I need forgiveness. Probably daily. I need forgiveness daily. We all fall short of the glory of God. What is my favorite scripture for my family, my career, and myself? Okay, I'm just off the cuff. I have two that I lean, well, three. Search me and know me, O God. If there's an evil way, pluck it out. It's in Psalm 139. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's a really good one, Proverbs. I think it's 3, 5, and 6. And then the other one would be, for me, the one that I've lived on a long time is be anxious for nothing. In Philippians 4:4, it says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice. It's such a big word. It's so joyful, right? Rejoice. And that means in anything and everything, just rejoice. Rejoice that you have our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, that you have God just right there with you, that he sent his only Son to die in your place. It's pretty amazing when you think about it. And then in 4, that was 4:4. Rejoice. And then 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer. Be anxious for nothing. How many of you listening right now are anxious? And what are you anxious about? What is causing the anxiousness? There's a word for you. I have to tell you that when I'm fearing, fear not is in the Bible 365 times. Look it up. Fear not. Why is that? Because God knows that we fear. We fear a lot. And the acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real. I'm doing this with no notes. This is just thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving me these words. Seriously, thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving me these words. But fear not. Why? Because we fear a lot, don't we? We fear a lot. What I do when I have things that are at me, what I do is I think about the worst scenario that could possibly happen in this scenario. What is the worst thing that could happen in this situation? And I come up with the worst, the absolute worst that could happen in this situation. And this might help some of you out there right now, because maybe you're facing some circumstance and it seems so overwhelming. You're thinking, oh my God, you tell me you won't give me more than I can handle, but this is definitely more than I can handle. Let me tell you, I've been there. I've been there a million times, probably more than a million. And what I do when I can is I visualize the worst scenario in that situation. What is the worst thing that could happen? Now, I don't want to stay there because I don't want to focus on the worst thing, because I don't want that to happen, right? But I visualize me getting through it, the worst thing that could happen. I visualize all the way through it. I work my way, my body, my emotions, spiritually, physically, every way. I picture myself going through the worst scenario. Whew, sweating. Oh, man, that was tough. Then I'm through it, right? So anything else that happens is going to be less than that. Anything that they throw at me, anything that comes my way is going to be less than my worst scenario. And guess what? I'll get through that too. Why? Because my Heavenly Father, he's victorious in Jesus' name, and he gives me the strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and so can you. No weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon formed against you will prosper. When you know our Heavenly Father, when you know and have a personal relationship with your Heavenly Father, He's there to give you the strength you need and the protection you need. Psalm 91, read it. Go into Psalm 91 and read that if you feel like you need protection right now. That's a protection prayer. I just gave a friend of mine that scripture in a picture on a in a frame that is just beautiful. It's black and white, and it's on his wall already. And it just it's so nice to see it there. In my opinion, he has a lot of things that need to be removed from his house, but this one definitely needs to stay. Okay, with that being said, let me just ask you, what is your favorite scripture? Do you have a scripture? I had In-N-Out yesterday, and In-N-Out on the bottom of the cup has John 3:16. I happened to, up till yesterday, I had a little rubber bracelet. I have one now. I'm showing it to the people that are watching online. And it says, pray first. This one I've had on for a very long time, and I have a new Fitbit I just put on, and I'm learning about how many steps I'm taking and my water intake, all those fun things. It's really neat. And it just says battery's low, so I got to plug it in, obviously. But I had In-N-Out, and I was showing the people that were in the room, Taylor, who's working with me. She's 16 years old, and she's the daughter of Daniel, who works with me for 10 years now. And and my son was there too, and he said, hey, Taylor, did you see that, you know, John 3:16 scripture is on the bottom of the cup? And then I go, do you know what John 3:16, do you know what the scripture is? She goes, no. So I took my bracelet, my second bracelet off, which was John 3:16. It had the scripture on it, and I handed it to her. And I said, I want you to keep this on your wrist, and I want you to memorize this scripture. And then I asked my son, I said, Tyson, what is John 3:16? Do you remember the scripture? And he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever shall believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And he just said that like so quick. And I was so proud of him and excited because as a mom, you know, our job is to train them up in the way they shall go and they will not depart from it. And part of that is learning scriptures, right? We need to train our children to scriptures. Just like I did those scriptures without, you know, a script, it's just out of my mind, out of my brain, because I lean on my scriptures. My scriptures come in handy when I'm in trouble, when I just need something to lean on, and they could be there for you too, and they would be there for you. So here's the next question. Are you ready? What impossible thing are you believing and planning for? Impossible. Not going to the grocery store, maybe not even vacation, but what is that impossible thing that you're believing and planning for? And if you don't have an impossible thing, you're thinking too small. You are thinking too small. Can you think bigger? Think so much bigger that you know it has to be God, not you. Just like that house I was telling you about. That house, I found it on Redfin or something, and I went and saw it, and you know, I put a proposal on it. I put a bid on it, and I didn't get it. And I was bummed that I didn't get it because I thought I was going to get it. And then about 2 or 3 months later, after I went through all the process of getting the loan and the interest rate and all that, and then 2 months later, after I was bummed that I didn't get it and someone else bought it right out from under me, my realtor calls me up and says, Sue, remember that house? And I'm like, oh, yeah, how could I forget it? I love that house. And, well, I didn't love it. I just liked it a lot. And he says, well, they're willing to come back to the table again. I'm like, what? And I said, okay, for what price? And they were higher. They were higher, but not a whole lot higher. And I said, well, no, I'm only going to do this because I think it's a God thing. And I'm only going to do it if we can get it for the same price. And they wouldn't come down. I said, you know, wait a minute. I said, let me call my loan, the banker and the loan guy, and see if he still has the paperwork, and let me see something. So I call him up, and I say, hey, do you still have? And he said, yes. And I said, can you tell me what the interest rate was? He told me what the interest rate was. And I said, what is the interest rate right now? And he goes, oh, man, it's gone down. I went, okay. So you tell me if it's gone down XYZ, because that's how much they wanted, more than what I was willing to pay. I said, can you tell me if it's gone down to that much? Do you know it was to the penny? It was to the penny. Now, that doesn't happen unless it's a God thing. That's a God thing. And it was just thinking a little differently, right? It wasn't the asking price. It was the outcome of the whole deal of what it was going to end up being. and it ended up being almost exactly the same to the penny. And I thought, okay, I'll take it. I'm going to go for it. And I did. And it was a very good decision. It's a house with 9 acres. And like I said, it was a domestic violence, mothers with children home. And I had moms in there and children in there. And it was wonderful. And I don't think that dream is done yet. But that was way too big for me. That was bigger than me. That was a God thing. That was a God thing. Now I'm building a garage and a horse barn there. Because it's got 9 acres on it, and it's going to be used. It's going to be used mightily, and I'm excited about that. And it's called the DSF, and DSF is Disciples Set Free. Because my daughter, I said Dream Set Free. I wanted it to be DSF or Dream Set Free. And she goes, no. She goes, Mom, it needs to be Disciples Set Free. And I went, oh, I like that so much better. And so that's what it is, and I'm excited about that. Anyway. So now here's the next question. What is my most prevailing thought? You know, you have this brain, and this brain is thinking things all the time. You've got these messages going on in your head. And that's why I said, if you push the button on Sue Free, spelt like fries, oneword.com, and you get the 3 pages of IMs, that you'll start believing different. It's going to change the way you think, and it's going to be for the better. But what you think about, your prevailing thoughts, that's what holds you captive or sets you free. And so, is your glass half empty or half full? What are you focused on? Are you focused on what's good or what's not good? And what you focus on continues to happen. So I'm very much about what I say, the words I choose to use. It's really important. What you eat, what you drink, what you watch, what you listen to, and what you read. So please be intentional with what you're doing with your life. Every minute counts. What good thing have I committed to do that I have quit doing? Whew, that's a good one. And you know what? That's only number 15 and there's 25, so there's 10 more. So I'm going to do a cliffhanger here. You know why? Because I'm going to print these out. I've got to remember to do this, but I'm going to print these out and I'm going to put them on my website. It's going to be one more thing for you guys to be able to look at and bring from the website. Sue Free, spelled like fries, oneword.com. I'm on YouTube. I'm on Facebook. And I'm. It's by Sue Free Show. Sue Free, spelled like fries, and then show. Or you can go to the website of Sue Free, spelled like fries, oneword.com. I would love to hear from you. I'd love to hear suggestions or answered prayer or prayer that you need. Anything that you need, anything that you want to talk about. Nobody reads these but me. They go directly to me. And I would love to hear from you. I'd love to hear how this show has, you know, directed you in a different direction, how God has been, you know, that he's touched your heart through the show or any vehicle. He uses a lot of people. He can use you. It's all in how we wake up in the morning and how we see ourselves and how we see our situation that can change the trajectory of what's going on. Just understand that, be thankful in all things and give thanks in all things, and pray. Pray first. I tell you, I didn't used to be so much a prayer warrior, but I am now, and I pray about anything and everything. And your attitude will determine your altitude, and it's important that you check it. Check it at the door. So with that, I just am thankful and grateful for you. Be a blessing to someone each and every day, and please share this show with other people, YouTube, Facebook, and thank you again. God bless. Bye.
It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. E-Cola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. E-Cola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call E-Cola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS, 877-332-BUGS. E. cola, powerful pest control services, as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.